Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in the air?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. We gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew I could be so happy. I never knew.
They gon' wanna hit the horns. That's right. Welcome for the first show. Having some technical difficulties, but we're going to work through that. Yeah, a change is going to come. We're going to wait on it. But again, so much is going on, so little time. As always, read your African-American newspapers. I have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. We have my iMessenger, the Garland Journal, and the Texas Metro News. No excuse for the news. It is the first Sunday of 2024. A lot has been going on. We praise God that we are where we are today, that we move forward. 23 is nothing we can do about that. It's just our time to make 24 even brighter. Again, so much is going on, so little time to talk about it. We have past presidents just won't let go, won't let go. Just think about if President Obama did some of these acts, would he be around today? You know, and it's just absolutely insane in my mind of what's going on. But we have 50 years of hip hop, 50 years of hip hop, and then the Rapper's Delight, Sugar Hill Gang, 44 years ago. Can you remember that? Will a change come? They still rapping, but it all started 44 years ago, or well, 50 years ago, but 44 years ago, the Sugar Hill Gang came on the page. So much is going on, so little time to talk about it. Folks, read. We got to read. If it was a book, if our story was in a book, we'll probably miss it. But it's so important that we read and continue to read. We have so much going on. I tell you, we look at what's going on in Washington. Folks, let's get this thing together. Let's get it together. We have to. Don't forget on Martin Luther King Day at the African American Museum. Don't believe the hype. Healthy seminar. We're going to try to get those in for you today. You know, of course, sad news that the Eddie Bernice Johnson, U.S. representative that retired, passed. Funeral is going to be tomorrow. Let's have prayers for the family. Let's have prayer for the family. January 6th coming up will be the third anniversary of the attacks in the U.S. Capitol. You know, we're still trying to resolve that. Giuliani has been left hanging, And I just think that's just, you know what it is. You ride or die. Eric Adams sues the bus company of transporting the migrants there in New York City. It's amazing. The state of Texas is still sending people throughout the country. They've sent boatloads to every city, major city, that you have a Democratic governor, okay, to the major cities and states that have governors, or should I say Democratic mayors. Stop playing politics with your life. You can come here in Texas alone and see people who have migrated here, been living here for years, and it's okay for them. But why isn't it okay for others? We look at things of such, those who colors, and we're saying colors, there are multiple colors, white, brown, black, blue, purple, whatever you want to call them. But when they have a slight tan, it seems to cause a problem in our country. Why is that? I still think about, and it breaks my heart, with the Haitians, made its way all the way to the state line. They brought an aircraft carrier or U.S. Coast Guard cutter, whatever you want to call it, put them and flew them back. How about the folks from Venezuela, Mexico? If you're going to let some in, let them all. But I understand what they're doing or what they've done for those who have come in from the South, doing domestic work, some. some with no English background, able to pick it up with no problem, at least be able to have conversations. Come on, America. We must do better than this. It's been a long time, but a change is going to come. We'll keep that in the background just a little bit. We can hear it in the background. Again, how can these schools take Black history out of our schools? These school systems, how can you move forward when you don't know where you've been? I can't say that enough. Time after time, there are people who have built this country. We can think about Blazing Saddles, how it was, I guess, appropriate at the time. But the message that they sent on there was the fact that America, Black Americans helped build this. And we know how, with slavery and everything, and how we fled and moved eastward, well, excuse me, moved westward for better times, better places to live. So we built this country. And they don't know, they don't want their kids to find out that whites had slaves. And even in high schools, you look at some of these mixed schools, some of these kids, as they say, they're off the chain, some of the relationships, and you wonder why our kids are fighting. They get the Toby. They get called the N-word. Whatever it takes for these kids that they've learned, not from any textbooks, they've learned from their parents. They have learned from their parents. It's about 36 after the hour. We were having some technical difficulties, but it seemed to be straightened out now. This is Andrew Wiggum live from Studio A, The World According to Drew. We're going to keep going. And again, big things going on. Hopefully we get some other folks on. I've made some calls today. I know it's first of the year. They're still celebrating from the New Year's. Again, the January 6th situation is still hot on the table 3 years later, you know, and they continue to dance around it. Had it been me or others of color creating an insurrection, you know, it would have been locked, signed, and sealed. Or as the old song say, signed, sealed, and delivered. Craziness in this country. You know, who would have thought that Rodney King would have been the best philosopher of our time? Can we just get all, can we all get along? Or if we could just get along, anything. But Rodney King said it best. So it's been a long time coming. But I still hope that a change will come. That song has been around a long time, but who would have thought it was still very relevant in today's society? So we'll play it. We're going to bring it up just a little bit so you can still hear me. Don't forget our e-blast. We'll keep it at a hush there a little bit. But again, so much is going on in NFL, Week 18, some playoff spots are up for grabs. Congratulations to the Houston Texans. Made it with a rookie quarterback. It goes to show sometimes that you can be not the greatest or good quarterback in college, but maybe not the greatest of that year, and you come out on top. You know, C.J. Stroud, congratulations. You couldn't have done it by yourself, but you were hurt a little bit, but you showed grace and promise, and we're sure proud of you. I'm not even a Houston Texans fan, but when our quarterbacks, whether it was James Harris, Marlon Briscoe, Doug Williams, to get this train started, to let them know that we had the cerebral brains to play the game. You know, you've had some great, oh, well, he's a Rhodes Scholar, this, that, but it does not equate to talent. And I know Magic is a part of the Commanders that the Cowboys are playing today, but we need more black ownership. But 90% of the players in the National Football League are black. Over 90% of the owners, 95% of the owners, 100% of the owners are white in the National Football League. Come on, America. This country continues to move backwards. You know, we so used to clock moving from the right, from the left to the right. Now it's moving left, from the right to the left, moving backwards. Come on. Come on, guys. Come on, ladies. Let's speak up. Let's get things done the right way. But again, the seventh day, on the fifth day of January, 113 years ago, we had a monstrosity occur on the campus of Bloomington, Indiana, when the men of Kappa Alpha Psi were formed. I want to say good morning to our grand pole, Mark. You may have missed it, but I had the luxury of meeting several pole marks, tenure of over 40-plus years with Kappa Alpha Psi, knowing two or three of them very, very, very prominent men, knew them very closely. I can always say that my advisor as an undergraduate ended up being the grand pole mark of this illustrious fraternity. So great things are going on in New Orleans closing out. Closing out this week. What a great spot. Hopefully the weather was very good there. And the Crescent City, as they like to call it. New Orleans, plenty of jazz, good food down there. I tell you, it's absolutely wonderful. You know, just talking, hopefully get some frat brothers on. We talk about Guy Wright, Achievement Academy, Learn to Live, Lead Kappa, Kappa Lead, Room to Read. All of these are programs that we are working, trying to make a difference in the lives of young men in our country. We have a mixture, started out with being African-American. We do have some members of other races, and we love them as much as we love our brothers because they are part of us. Cultures, there's things that we need to continuously push. And the Divine Nine is there for leadership. We all, you know, we have our differences, but our goals are very similar in society. And people think, oh, you know, I got some Qs that are very good friends of mine. And we just continue to go. You have the different colors, but our goal sets are very similar. So we want to keep that going, folks. Want to keep it going. I tell you, it's another thing where they try to destroy us in cities throughout this country. And we must continue to fight for what's right. Yeah, I mentioned earlier in the broadcast that we have people who are still trying to take Huck Finn out of the book. They knew what that was about. Huckleberry Finn been around a long time. We knew what it was about when we read it. I asked questions about it. But today's kids, you're keeping the American, you're trying to change the American portrait. That's what I'm saying, because there are a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that people have endured being in this country, not being able to vote, getting poll taxes, getting killed, getting hurt. Because we've done the work, pick the cotton, pick the corn, we picked everything. And we were only a half a person, a one-third. Somebody had a little math in their head, but one-third of a person. It took three blacks for one vote. Come on. As Chris Carter would say, come on, man. What the heck is going on? Going on. Time and time again, folks, we didn't ask to come over here. But now that we're here, we're trying to make a difference, and we have made a difference. When Black History comes up, we're going to read about some of these things. This month, we're celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday and honor him. And let's not forget that we're going to have our health fair. It's going to be at the African American Museum on Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday celebration. So a lot is going on. We love it. We'll keep you abreast of what's going on. I tell you, it's been a time. It's been a time. So realizing the dream. And we want you folks to come on. Some great things going on. Hopefully, when we broadcast, we'll be kind of stationary and have people come over and we can make a difference. Comerica has been there in the past for us. A lot going on. Trying to get the image. We'll get it together here so that we could have it where it gets out. I tell you, it's been a wonderful, wonderful year. No complaints from me. You know, without the ups and downs and in-betweens, there would be no work on our part. No work on our part. Again, if you want to be a part of our email with our e-blast, you know, we're still celebrating from the first, that you can do 214-941-0110, or you can email to healthylivingex1@gmail.com. Let me repeat that. healthylivingex1@gmail.com. And you can look so many people. We kind of have some vendors. Chris Howell Foundation, Grace and Glory. I tell you, folks, we are, as they say, we're ready for the boogie get down. So you have to believe that hype. It's going to be at the African American Museum. Great sponsors this year, American Red Cross and others. Bounce houses for the kids, karaoke, line dancing, baking contest, face painting, and more at the African American Museum. American Red Cross will provide gift cards. You got to be there, folks. That's January 15th from 10 to 5 at the African American Museum, which is located 3536 Grand Avenue, Dallas, Texas, in beautiful South Dallas, right in Fair Park. So you need to be there. We'll give you more insight on this a little bit later. At the top of the hour, we have Dr. Rodriguez giving us some helpful hints. I see that we have a caller on, and I'm so glad. Hopefully this is Vaughn.
See?
Yes. Good morning, Vaughn.
Good morning, brother.
Good, man. I'm so glad you're on with me this morning. I know Tallahassee has been hot, to say the least.
Yeah, to say the least is the truth, brother.
Say the least. Yes, but man, you know what? We talk all the time, but I really appreciate you. You know, we talk, and we never appreciate the gifts that you have or what others have had, and then we all had the same humble beginnings. So
well,
we know what FAMU, we know what FAMU could do for us.
We know up under the covers, from up under the covers, Drew.
yeah, but under the covers got some of us in trouble. But but look, how about on top of the bedspread this morning? It is Sunday morning.
we'll stay there. It's Sunday morning.
It's Sunday morning. We'll keep that in mind. But I know with the stir up there in Tallahassee, I kind of had an inkling it may occur. I know some. You hear all kind of things that have gone on with, with the football team and the coach and, a lot of sideline talk was going
right.
on. But I'm going to get your perspective. I'll throw mine out. You're the professional. This is a hobby for me. what was your
you're
feeling?
Professional with your hobby, though.
Yes, I try to be. So we'll get to the end, but in the beginning, how did you feel when you first heard about it? Or what was?
Well, I can't say I was surprised. To me, this year when FAMU almost beat USF, in my mind I was like, oh, he about to get some great offers, because USF went to a bowl game, grant you this year. They went to a bowl game, so they were no slouch. And you lose to them by 14 points. And they were lucky to get out of that one alive. At that point, you say, you know what? This man has built his FCS team to compete with an FBS team. And a lot of schools could use that level of coaching. So to me, that game, even more than the Jackson State game was, winning that was great and it needed to happen, but it was on the FCS level. It was when they played USF with 5 turnovers and only lost by 14 points. Yep. That's when I said, boy, they're going to come after him.
You know what? I thought the same thing too, because like you said, the president that presidented, it's Sunday morning. I'm still waking up. I had a long week. Look, if I had to type it, I'd spell it right. But he was on notice, and he's been a rising star. Called quite a bit of him when he was at Prairie View. He was doing some things, but he never could beat Grambling. That was the only thing that knock on him at that particular time. And then when Bubba took over the next year, Prairie View won. And
right,
I have been following Willie for a while. Of course, being from Quincy, and the god brother of Eddie Battle.
Yeah, Eddie Battle, my teammate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was keeping up
with
him.
I had New Year's together. We brought in a New Year with the Simmons, and Miss Battle was there. Miss Battle was there, Eddie's mom.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it is Sunday morning. Yeah, I knew the family well. I'm just going to leave it at that. boy, I tell you,
but yeah, this is the tenure in college athletics, not just in HBCU football. These schools, these mid-major schools, these group of 5 schools, and these FBS schools, they have to win. And finding talent is not limited to players. They have to have talented and innovative coaches. And listen, the decade before Willie Simmons got there, I had to sit and walk them same line. What people don't realize, when they see me down there walking around with Willie Simmons and doing these nice interviews, I had to do the hard interviews not too long before Willie Simmons got there. When we went 1-10, I had to do the exact same thing I'm doing while they hoisting the Celebration Bowl trophy. I had to do those same things for a 1-10 season. So, that's how great the transition was from Willie Simmons coming in. This is done, 5 years after a 1-10 season for FAMU.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
You talk about rebuilding. That's not a rebuild. That's a remake, remodel. You know, that's a new version. That's stepping up from iPhone 14 to 15, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole remake.
Look, and you know what I like to say, too? That's like putting the Osmonds and the Jacksons in the same concert.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, there's a big difference there. But, you know, one thing I do notice, and I love the way the school is growing. You know, there are a few things, that's a whole nother show. How the state is really, when we were coming through, we knew what FAM was all about. We knew there were some kids there that needed the opportunity to thrive. They may not have had the best interest scores, but just given the opportunity and rubbing shoulders with people who were all about taking care of the business, it rubbed off, and these folks became great coaches and great scientists, great pharmacists, you know, business
people. And I'll take it one step further. FAMU has an impeccable history of SGA presidents like yourself. I just look at all of those FAMU SGA presidents, the leader of that student body. What you all do, my goodness, I just look at all of you. You just look at the whole list. Just look down from back when. The list of FAMU SGA presidents has been the best of the best when they come out. You all, you and Gallup Franklin, who's now a state representative here. You look at Christian Harper, who is now the chair of the board of trustees. Andrew Gillum, we know what his rise was, and he just got re-signed on to a new podcast for the political season with Angela Rye. You look at Larry Rivers.
Dr. Rivers.
Yes. But you all represented the best of the best. And from that leader, Darryl Parks, God, Lord, don't let me forget Darryl Parks. But just from that leadership, just look at that. Just look at that to judge the student body about what came through FAMU. Just look at the student leadership, the people appointed leaders. We have had some impeccable leadership. And I think the students take the lead from that because you all were out there. You all were active. We admired y'all. Y'all might not have known it because we might have partied together or whatever, but we admired y'all. We look to y'all to lead us on what we should be doing. And that
man,
is the greatness of FAMU.
But
that's
you
the
know
greatness
what?
Of FAMU
we were going,
right there.
When we were going through it, Vaughn, we didn't realize the potential power that we had. We were just trying to live up and do what was right for the university. I think of things, and I'm hanging my hat on this nail, when we had the beach party. I don't hang my hat on too many nails. And I actually worked for another president at the time. It might have been Reggie that had a good friend that was in Daytona. And we said, if we bring our band, KKSI, can you get us a band shell? On the famous Daytona Beach, and we'll have a FAMU Bethune-Cookman party. And that has really led to a lot of the big beach parties, Virginia Beach, Myrtle Beach, all these parties that are going on now. They're kind of fading away because people just got out of hand. But we didn't know that we were pioneers. We were just trying to do something, reward our student body, take those little Greyhound buses, and pray that it wasn't going to break down between Daytona and Tallahassee. but we got there. Go ahead.
But even we partied hard, but also you let one of y'all say, hey, we're going to march to the Capitol because they trying to take our funding. I remember clearly, you know, and then y'all were smart enough to grab people who knew a little more, the Kendrick Meek, he grew up in politics, so he knew and understood, and y'all would gather us and allow him to take the lead, and so we would know what we're going down there to march for, exactly. But that was the culture. I still think about it. While I was there, there were two marches we went down to the Capitol for. I still think about that pride that we're doing something. And
right.
We're not going to just sit back. It's not for us to just look at movies of the 1960s of our people marching. Because if you look back at the 1960s, a lot of those were college students.
Oh, absolutely.
So this is our chance to affect, in this millennium, affect change and make it better for somebody mm-hmm. who's coming after us, you know?
Right.
So you,
absolutely.
I got to say it, you know, in the colleges, especially at FAMU, that's what I could speak on. That's where I went. We took the lead from our SGA president and our smart leaders. And while we partied hard, when it was time to party, when it was time to protest, we could protest with the best of.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are listening, we have Vaughn, Mr. Vaughn Wilson from HBCU Today. I mean, this brother, I've been knowing him for a while. And you didn't know you were walking among superstars. That's how it was at FAMU. He just mentioned
right.
about the leadership, but just the camaraderie. And we just wanted to keep up. Now, Vaughn, you may not know this story, and I tell it all the time. I thought I was the smartest thing coming out of Tampa. I just knew it. I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I took chemistry at USF in the 11th grade. That's that spot
wow.
I thought I was. And when I got to FAM, I found out there were kids that looked like me just as smart as I was, or even smarter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll bring this into fruition. A young lady named Candy Walls in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
We had a trigonometry class, and we were battling 95s. This is the only person at FAMU made me study hard. Because I figured if I'm from a big city like Tampa, nobody from Tifton could beat me. I tell
right.
her all the time. And then here we go, 98, 99, get 100. I asked some teachers, you can read my name, I should get an extra point.
Right.
I did anything I was searching for. But that's, a lot of people don't realize that our HBCUs, you know, we party. Yes, we do. But you have to be able to draw the line between getting your work and party. Party is the reward
right.
that you are getting for working
right.
hard in the classroom. And that's what I enjoy about FAMU. And I take FAMU, those who work with me, said, man, you're a little different about things. I said, I'm all about taking care of my business. I'll clown.
Right.
Look, I forgot what comedians say. When I itch, I definitely scratch. I won't scratch unless I itch. So, you know, oh, you're too serious. That's just me. I'm all about taking
yep.
care of the business. And,
absolutely.
And that's what HBCUs have done throughout the country. I've visited several HBCUs. I got a few more. Mississippi is about the only one I haven't totally visited. But in
mm-hmm.
Texas, I've been from Prairie View, Houston, Tillerson, some of the little smaller ones, Jarvis Christian College, Texas College, all these little ones. And then I work at Paul Quinn now. So it's a lot going on. And, you know, my whole pledge to myself, first of all, is to help those who look like me.
Right.
People may get upset. But I'm sorry. Everybody help everybody. We have some Hispanics here. I have great friends. But they're all about building. The kids may not go to college, but they teach them to trade. And then we end up using them for various things here. But they learn. They're all
right.
about teaching. And if we could teach
right.
our kids the trade
mm-hmm.
or teach the tenacity that these other cultures are using to make it happen for themselves, then we'll be on the right path.
Absolutely.
So, you know, go ahead. Go ahead. You were saying something.
No, I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah. So I was just softening you up now. We're going to get back to the football now. All right.
Okay.
So, yeah, Willie, FBS team he came close to, so he started getting the attention. Now, I understand
yeah.
that mm-hmm. he had Manny's son on the staff.
Yeah, His son was his grad assistant the last 2 years. They coached
okay.
together at Middle Tennessee State. They were both
right.
assistant
now,
coaches at
now the
pitch Middle is, Tennessee State.
Well, now the picture is coming together. When
yeah.
Willie and Dr. Robinson, Dr. Robinson came out to Dallas, and it was his, he had just been confirmed, had that interim tag pulled off.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young man that used to go to Middle Tennessee State. I see the boy's face, or the young man's face. I'll call it in a minute. That played at Middle Tennessee State. And then he walked on the Cowboys and made the Cowboys. So now I got the connection of Gaucher, Willie, Manny Diaz, all on the staff there at Middle Tennessee State, there in Murfreesboro.
Yeah.
And I understand that coaches look out for coaches, and then we're going to look out for sons.
That is very true. Anybody who knows anything about college coaching and that sort of thing, coaches can't bring their sons up through their ranks all the time. So they partner with other coaches, and that coach will do that coach a favor. And, you know, it's – and I don't call it a favor. They're just a – they're a collective.
Well, it's a fraternity within itself.
It is.
It's a fraternity within itself. Because you think about Bob Stoops. I think Bob Stoops is going to be our next coach at the Cowboys if this coach falters. Stoops is running the minor league team, XFL team. They just won the world championship, if you want to say that, for XFL, Arlington Wranglers or whatever their name is. I saw them in San Antonio.
Think about it. Bobby Bowden didn't raise his sons up under him. He sent them other places.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So that coaching fraternity, as you called it, that's a good way to describe it. They take care of each other and each other's people.
Yeah. Now, I think about, too, when I'm right into Coach Stoops in San Antonio when they had that championship game, can you believe – he had as a special teams and tight ends coach was Steve Spurrier. Spurrier gave Stoops his shot at Florida. And they don't forget. They just continue to help each other. And then the brother that's in Kentucky, you know, friends of friends. And it goes deep. And obviously, with Willie Simmons, that occurred. You know, it's kind of a sweet and sour feeling that we're having with that. But I understand it because you better believe if I got a better opportunity to get another job at this point in my career, I would take it. I would take it and try to ride with it. Now, let me flip my hat to the other side. If the brim was to the, should I say the cap bib was to the right, let me flip it to the left. Now, we're upset. You know, we take things to heart. We don't want to look at the true picture of what's going on in that gentleman's life to make Coach Simmons' life to really understand why he did it, because you want to grow. But the FAMU side, we were upset because we were told that a decision was going to be made on the 2nd. Well, I guess we got it a little early because we were really out there. You know, I'm a couple groups. I'm so proud of the National Alumni Association for FAMU for putting money, the 220 Club, the Boosters. Mm-hmm. You know, I was on a lot of calls just listening and seeing. And then Curtis, I want to congratulate him and the National Alumni Association for coming up with money. I mean, Rattlers, you know, there's an old saying, I'll think of it in a minute, about coming – you know, to the aid of all men, where we got the call and we got it together. And if we can do this continuously, regardless of who's coaching, we just support our school and put it back on top. But we're still at the top, but we need to be that number one school again. And in some circles, we are the number one public. And I think we just passed Spelman in some of those private schools. But we have to keep up the good work. We have to keep up the good work.
Yes,
because I love no matter what, we brag differently. Yes.
Spelman and Morehouse.
Go ahead.
Past Spelman and Morehouse in a lot of categories.
And, you know, they have a lot of money because they're private schools. The state schools like we are, you know, and Board of Regents and I don't know, the Board of Trustees, I think that's what they call them now. They are over us. I know your mayor, you're not your mayor, sorry. Your governor is just like our governor. They something else. I don't know what to say about him.
Why you ruined the morning talking about him?
Well, you got to have a little sweet and sour in your broadcast, you know what I'm saying? A little bit of sweet and sour. But, again, some of the challenges, I wanted to say that because some of the challenges that we're facing as our as an HBCU, Texas Southern is having some issues. Prairie View is pretty strong because they're still under the auspices of Texas A&M. A lot of people don't know that Texas A&M owns Prairie View.
Right.
And they allow them to keep their name forever. So they're kind of in this system. If they, what do we have? We have University of Florida. What system schools do we have? Anybody under Florida?
Florida State, Florida, UCF, USF.
Right, but they all act independently. Here you have Texas A&M at of course, College Station, Texas A&M and Texarkana.
Texas A&M is kind of over everybody. Is that the way it is?
Right, right. They have the A&M schools. They have at Corpus Christi, Texarkana, Rio Grande. And then you have University of Texas. They have one at Dallas, one at Austin, one in Denton, Texas. So they have their pretty much systems. Now, the only black college or HBCU that I know with a system is Southern.
Yeah.
Southern has a school in Shreveport. People don't know that. They have a school in New Orleans called SUNO. And then, of course,
and that's
the mothership
is
in Baton Rouge. What were you saying, Vaughn?
Ammons is in New Orleans, right?
Right. SUNY, Southern University in New Orleans. And they're doing well. I wish we could get him back. I know it's kind of a little late for that right now. But, you know, even if we were flourishing under his leadership, almost 12,000 students strong. HBCU, can you imagine the dollars that we were bringing in? And then the state said, wait a minute now, they catching up. But, Vaughn, I can say this. The focus when we were in school was that, I can't think his name, might have been Bernie Tasser or something when we were in school at Florida State. We were at a Board of Regents meeting, that's what it was. He said he wanted to have the largest school in the state of Florida. At the time, Florida was number one. And here I am asking the question, how are you going to pull that off? He said he wanted to take TCC and FAMU and make it one Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the? It's Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. I can't say what I thought, man. But I was like, what the heck is going on? You trying to take us. And I look at the landscape of Tallahassee. I'm still mad about the Civic Center. Because when we were there, it was supposed to be a 50-50 split. We had our days, you had your days. I look up, they had all the paint on the floor. I ride by, come to Tallahassee. You know, oh, well, we need to build them a basketball arena so they won't be worried about our thing. I understand how it works.
Yeah.
But, again, they go back on their promises, and the people have gone back on promises everywhere in this country. This, Vaughn, I'm talking about if I could – create a watch that moved backwards, not to left or right like we're accustomed to. That's what they're trying to do is move time back and hurt our schools, hurt our culture. You know, I still look at Montgomery as of late of how things are in the country still. And I throw my head up at work. They're looking at me crazy. I do it every day. Let them know I can take this suit off. I can take it off. But I have too much pride in myself and family and my school not to do it. But it's forever changing. Since we've gotten that, let me get somebody else on, Vaughn, right quick. You hang on. All right, 469, you're on. Welcome to the world, according to Drew.
According to Drew, good morning. It's Livingston, all Britain.
All right, Liv.
Hey, what's going on, Vaughn? Good to hear your voice. Hey, I just wanted to chime in and add some commentary. You guys were talking about a couple things I wanted to add some points on. One, you know, Willie Simmons and, you know, his early decision, you know, to leave. And I do applaud our effort. I mean, I thought we did a good job of coming together and trying to put up a counter. Not about me. I've been in corporate America. You know, family prepared me well. You know, class of 87. You know, I'm trying to get to whatever that number is.
We were on the campus together then in 87.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. but you don't counter somebody with less than the offer they got on the table. I mean, I think that's why he made his decision when he made his decision. And I get we might not have come up with, you know, enough to make it equal. But that gets to the second point I wanted to make, which is, and, you know, Andrew, you were just talking about, you know, they're trying to take the clock and make it run backwards. I don't disagree with that. You know, they change the game all the time in the middle of the game to impact us adversely. But we have to start giving back ourselves. You know, both of y'all know we will spend thousands of dollars going back to homecoming and buying paraphernalia, but we won't give back to our school like we should. You know, if you
can
take
I
those larger,
to that about buying paraphernalia, we'll go.
I say we will spend thousands of dollars coming back to homecoming. I mean, them folks charge $1,000 a room a night now to come back, and we go and do that, but we won't give back to our students. We won't give back to our athletic programs and those types of things. And we just have to start prioritizing. And Drew, you said it earlier. You are a proud FAMU, and you give back, both in time, talent, effort, energy, et cetera. And we have to do more than give back by going to homecoming. That's all I'm saying. Because I think that's how we make the difference.
But as far as your paraphernalia, you don't know how right that question is, because everybody knows all them vendors not licensed. So you put money in their pockets and nobody
fam,
we've been asking forever, hey, just look for the collegiate licensing situation.
Exactly.
So you know some money comes back to you. Just because it looks good, it's not benefiting your university.
It's hurting your university
because no money is going back to them.
Well, and Drew knows this. You know, he and his wife had, you know, two children. One went to FAMU, one went somewhere different. My wife and I had one child. He didn't go to FAMU. Where he went to school, though, in his freshman year, they start asking them to give $25. Why do you think they were doing that? Give $25 back.
Nurturing them to give.
Bingo. I mean, I just think we got to set a different tone, a different level of expectation with our students to do that. And then, lastly, and I'm not trying to dominate, but, you know, Drew always try to,
well,
whenever
fine,
you send me
fine.
A message, I guess you need to send it more often so I can pop on.
This great conversation, man.
yeah. So freshman class of 82, we've been, you know, plugging in and giving. Last year, our 40th freshman year, we raised, and my wife was in a small group of people that coordinated it, we raised like $180,000 for FAMU. We're trying to get to 500 here in the next couple of years. But recently, they had Dr. Shante Friday-Stroud on a call, and she was talking about the state university system and, you know, sort of how they changed the rules of the game, how, you know, schools get funding differently than, you know, what we got it when we were back at FAMU in the 80s. And there's three schools that they get theirs off the rip. They don't have to compete for the dollars. It's Florida, it's Florida State, and it's USF. The rest of them have to follow these rules, have to follow these parameters, and hope that they get a level of funding, which takes me back to we can't sit around waiting for these white folks to take care of our own problems. If FAMU is going to be what FAMU is, we have to do it. And then the last thing I'll say is back to the athletics. You know, when we look at, you know, these big athletic programs and these coaches and everything you said about, you know, how they take care of their own and send their coaches, their kids somewhere else is right. But the way they pay for those athletics is booster club. I mean, they will fire a coach and he got millions of dollars left on the contract and pay it, and the booster club pick it up, keep it moving, and hire somebody else. We got to do the same thing. And FAMU has done well. Like you said, there's a lot of superstars that left FAMU and that are out in corporate America, out as entrepreneurs, out as educators, out doing a lot of things, but we have got to give back if we expect to compete in, you know, the 2020s and beyond. I mean, that's how it changes. Because if not, you don't get what you pay for. And if you pay a coach $300,000 and the going market is $600,000, you're going to keep getting a subpar product.
Right. And it's always about market analysis. That's the thing. You know, we learn in our role.
I don't know the specifics. I am hearing that we offered lower than what he was getting. That's not going to work anymore. This is a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
No, we loving black and handling business are two loving black and handling business are two different things.
Yeah, his offer at Duke was $600,000. I think we offered him $500,000 and a little bit of change, but it wasn't the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what what I've noticed, usually when a coach leave us, it's a lot of scrutiny, never on top. If they leave HBCUs, they get fired. I think about Hugh at Grambling. First of all, you got LSU ruling Louisiana right now. You got Monroe, what is that, East Louisiana now? I don't know what they're calling themselves now. Less than 10 miles from Monroe to Grambling. And they're going there. So I understand where they're going, but again, with the event of South Florida, because back in the day, the kids didn't have many choices.
Right.
And now
South Florida. South Florida had just restarted their football program. It was garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But not now. I mean, they're a legit large school. I mean, and South Florida's changed their campus. I mean, they used to be a commuter school. It's a large, productive school now.
Yeah, yeah. It was almost like a senior college, you know, where you go in your junior and senior year.
Yep.
After going to HBC and other schools. But we're learning. We're kind of learning on the job of what is needed for FAMU. We could set the table. You know, A&T have numbers. And they're fighting. Everybody's fighting like FAMU. But the thing is that we have a brand academically. We're working on a brand for athletically, you know, and those are the things that we have to maintain. We have to kind of be in the forefront for other schools to model. Livingston, I don't know if you were on, but I mentioned how Prairie View, a lot of people think Prairie View is doing extremely well. They're not doing bad, but they are basically the name of their school, the official name is Texas A&M at Prairie View.
Yeah.
That is their name. But they allow them to keep their name forever being Prairie View A&M. Because if you go on their campus, Vaughn, I don't know if you've come out west, it is absolutely beautiful.
No, I've never been there.
They have knocked down so many old buildings. Their ROTC building looked just like ours. And you just look, and now we're in that mode of changing our dorms. I hated to see Wheatley and Cropper and all of them go. But we understand that those mortars was there when my parents were there in the 50s. You know, could we have just cut the front off and build a dorm behind it? I know I mean, I wasn't in the planning stages, but in order for us to get where we're going, we got to know where we've been. And that's what we've done with our history. We've forgotten the struggles. We've forgotten the times where they didn't have much. And I can tell you, living in Sampson Hall, we didn't have heat all the time. There were plenty of nights I slept in my coat. But you know what? It didn't kill me. And these kids, they you know, we in our houses now, the kids got their own thermostat in their room
right.
down the hallway. And I tell my kids, you better be glad. I come up here and pull the unit out of the wall. Y'all got it made.
Yeah,
you know,
look at
electric blanket. Look, we can say that electric blanket.
They have no idea how they got it made, Drew. They got no clue.
Yeah.
No, they
how
don't.
Well they got
but they're not going to go. They're not going to go to no school and stay in no room where they ain't got no heat and that type of stuff. I mean,
we're not letting them do that. I understand.
And they ain't going to no room with a bathroom down the hallway where everybody share when because when they visit a PWI, it ain't like that. So we,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
I've taken more cold showers. Look, more cold showers than I have in my lifetime now. So, and let me make y'all laugh. I'm trying to think of the guys on the football team, Vaughn, that stayed in Samson Hall too. I told most of the people I lived up in the on the fourth or fifth floor of Samson Hall. I was down in the basement. I don't know if it was R.C. Easom or some of them guys might have been. I don't know. We didn't have hot water at all down there. But you know what? You took care of the essentials and kept running.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it didn't kill me. It made me tougher to understand. But I know time is pressing, and I want to ask you this, Vaughn. With the and I've been watching all your broadcasts, and kudos, man. If I can give you the Sutler, all them, I would. You know, because, again, it's kind of hard. You're dealing with emotion, personally,
yep,
ties to the school, and then yet you've been very professional in presenting your
man,
story.
Man, let me tell you, to that end, before you go any further, that interview with Willie Simmons was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my professional life, just because, and it wasn't because of the football wins. It was because he used those football wins to build one of the strongest platforms to support the community. This man had when a kid died, he was going to the fair with his family a couple of years ago. You know, the fair that normally comes. And a kid got killed right in front of him. As a matter of fact, two guys ended up dying from that incident. Then that, within 2 weeks, I want to say, he had gotten all of the law enforcement, community agencies, and everybody together and say, look, this is out of control. I got to do something. I want to use my platform. And I want to have a rally for the community. And he had it over at Walker Ford. And when I tell you the whole city of Tallahassee, as far as importance and influence, came to support him in that rally, that's what I felt more missing than the wins and losses. Somebody who understands their position is not just there to be a coach, but to be a leader, mm-hmm, within the community. That's why that interview was so tough, because we were missing, because we were losing, we could lose a coach, but a killer in the community the way he was, that's what made it hard.
Now, hearing that, Vaughn, it's the first time I've heard of it, and not to say that I don't hear things. I mean, we may miss some things, but those are things that need to be said about the character of the coach. I think the fact that he grew up in Quincy and had that support. I mean, those folks out of Gaston County, boy, they were coming up. It was some folks I didn't even know was still in Quincy. You know, I'm like, what y'all doing here? That type of thing. But for a leader, not only on the field but off the field, that's a great, great thing for him. And I wish him the very best, of course, for our own selfish means. You know, we want him to be there forever, but we know forever don't last long. In some instances. And so I know we're going to tighten up our boots, straps, and continue to move on from that point. Now, we got Livingston on. He talked about his freshman class. And I like this competition that all the organizations are doing to try to keep FAM going. I'm still trying to figure out if we do that, is the state pulling money back? Because we were kind of quiet even in my day. If we raise just simple stuff, we raise $100, is that $100 less we're going to get in our budget? So those are the things. But Florida have an endowment. I look at University of Texas. If the state of Texas told University of Texas at Austin that we would no longer support you, Matthew McConaughey, Clarence Thomas homeboy, Holland Crow, they can take care of that school by itself. And Red McCombs, he still, I don't know if you remember Red McCombs that used to own the Saints, that said Charlie Strong was only an offensive coordinator, not a head coach. You know, his mindset, the old man still thought the same way. With his endowment at that school, they could still operate without the state of Texas. And that's what we need, those who have been blessed to leave endowments and things of that nature. And I'm working on some things trying to get Hillsborough County. I know my homeboy Rick is doing some things there, but I'm going to try to do some things in Hillsborough County, because if it wasn't for Hillsborough County and what they did for me, I wouldn't be where I am. So I'm going to go back where it started. We do a lot out here in Dallas, but I'm going to go back, and I challenge everybody, go back to your home. Let's do something and get those kids, because you know what? Again, we started with no idea where we were going to end up. And then we got through. We went through the bad days of no heat, no this, and we didn't have all the resources. And when we came along, remember, everybody was, look, DOS, if you got that. I'll never forget, I bought Vivian Wilson, Olivetti Data Processing. Now, when the last time you heard that? We had electric typewriters, but she was able to save letters. You see what I'm saying? And now we have all kind of storing capabilities.
Quit talking about them electric typewriters, them IBM electric tubes.
Yeah, electric tubes, you got it. But look, with correction, you know what I'm saying? Because when you had that onion skin paper, it was hard lining it back up.
Had the onion skin. Yep.
Oh, so yeah, we went through it. But now, you know, you can see everything before you even committed to paper. But those are the things that we need to do. FAMU will be all right, but we have to just keep giving back, making it happen. It may be a kid that's less fortunate than we were at the time, and we just keep moving forward. It looked like Vaughn dropped Liv, but we're going to continue on with that. We were talking about Willie, the decision. I know you came on, but what is that to do for FAMU today? Is Billy the right choice, or is the interim coach the right choice? Well, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's a right. I don't know that I have the right answer. I mean, I think both Billy and the interim guy, Colsey, could be the right choice. I mean, the players, you know, they stepped up, voiced their allegiance or, you know, commitment around Colsey. You know, Billy seems to have a lot of influence among alumni. But I'll go back to what I said earlier. If alumni want to have a voice and alumni want to make, you know, a choice, you know, alumni need to vote with their wallets and not just their emails and, you know, their opinion. I can be contrarian. You know, a lot of them people that I see on, you know, the various, you know, Facebook posts and all that stuff supporting Billy Roll, I'd ask, how much money have you given to the school? What's your level of support? I mean, I get Billy, you know, I get, you know, his body of work. But, you know, I think we need to look for a coach that, like Vaughn referenced, can be more than a coach, can raise men, can rally in the community, can do some of those things. I mean, I don't have a difference one way or the other. I mean, again, this is broad. We're talking black college football. We ain't talking, you know, Texas A&M, Georgia, right. None of them big programs. So, you know, FAMU, I don't know that FAMU winning the Celebration Bowl does a whole lot for us. I mean, I'm proud of it,
I mean, it may help the enrollment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
It may help the enrollment with the popularity or just the familiarity that the kids have by them winning the Celebration Bowl. It may work in Atlanta. But the thing is, you're right, we need someone in that's going to be stellar.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, black schools, our patience are a lot shorter with winning than anything. Excuse me. And this is unprecedented that other than Dion, for a black coach to leave, or a head coach of a black university to leave when things are good. It's always been bad. I've never seen a coach leave on top of the mountain.
Well, but that's why the dynamic is changing, and that's why we have to keep changing. I mean, if you look at these white programs, you look at white football or PWI, I'll be correct. when coaches win, they leave. I mean, that's how you move ahead in from a career standpoint. So I wasn't surprised that Willie left. I was surprised that, you know, we took offense and we didn't think he was going to leave. And I mean, that's what he does. I mean, you said it earlier. If somebody going to offer you double for your career and what you worked in, you out. So why wouldn't Willie?
Oh, yeah,
just,
I know.
Just,
I mean,
yeah, Willie ain't going to just hang around at FAMU because it's FAMU. Y'all got to pay me.
Yeah.
So,
and I know the quality of living is simple there in Quincy, a midway.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of money regardless of where you go. But I know he can stretch his buck there in Quincy. But like you said, he have aspirations of maybe being a Power 5 head coach.
Exactly.
I'm very upset. But you know what? I just hope that someone mentor him. He's going to get there. I can see his age is on his side.
Yeah.
He's going to get there. But I just hope that somebody put him under the wing and say, Ty Willingham, come in and say, brother, ain't everything is cut out to be, but you do what's right for your program, and you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
We need some brothers that have been down that road. Because I forgot who followed Ty Willingham at Notre Dame. And they gave him all the praise. I can't even think of it. Gave him all the praise, and it was Willingham recruits.
Yeah.
So with that being said, we just have to give a little bit more time, our time, our talents, and our gifts to our schools to make sure. And folks, for those who are listening, you know, it's good we have this, that, and the other, but, you know, there are tax benefits if you do it the right way. And you talk about paraphernalia. Yeah, we want to get, oh, man, that was sweet. Where you get that from? Over there behind Perry Page? No, that they're not all licensed. So if we need a better thing from Dr. Friday Stroud, let's continue getting this licensing and try to maybe play police at homecoming. People are going to be mad. But yet and still.
Yeah.
We need to get that money. If we get that money,
my point is, whether you find licensed merchandise or unlicensed merchandise, you're still spending money on stuff that's not back to helping the university advance forward in terms of its programs, its students. I mean, you talked about going back to Hillsborough County. You know, as you know, we grew up in rival counties, Hillsborough and Pinellas. I mean, I was literally thinking last night, I need to put something on paper, figure out what I can do in Pinellas County to help some kids. I mean, my parents were both school teachers. They both went to HBCUs. My mom went to FAMU. I mean, I think we just have to give back. I mean, I think that's how you get there. I mean, you talked about Red McCombs and, you know, who he is and what he said. Red McCombs writing a big check. Red McCombs can make decisions. And, you know, we talked about those superstars that was at FAMU. What are they doing now and how are they giving back? That's not to say that some of them or some of us are not. I just think we need to have more of that happening. I mean, that's how we change the dynamic at FAMU is we give back. Plain and
absolutely.
We ain't going to get more from the state. They ain't going to come in and it's just like, you know, black people in America. White folks ain't getting ready to save us. We got to do it ourselves.
Okay.
We got to go.
And right now, it's time to go backwards.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. You think about what you did for your kids. You think about what Phyllis and I did for our son. We did it. White folks didn't come in and do it for us. And we've got to do that with FAMU. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, man, only time will tell what we're going to have in the future there at FAMU. And we just got to keep pushing. You know, I bleed orange and green at work. They said, well, do you have any other gear?
No.
Look, at
you.
Work, I wear something, a hat, a sweater, or something. FAMU, why you got to have FAMU?
Yeah.
I say, because FAMU made it possible for me to be here. So I'm
going
to let you
know. Maybe this is a homework assignment we both can take between now and the next call. I wish Vaughn was still on. So, you know, when I walk in my office, you know, all these white boys, they got their helmets from, and they ain't none of them played football since they was in elementary school. But they got their Texas A&M helmet. They got their Texas helmet. You know, they got their helmet from OU. How do we get full size? How do we purchase full-size FAMU helmets?
Well, I tell you what they were doing based on donations to the school, to the athletic program. they were giving out helmets when Willie and Dr. Robinson had been out here, because they gave you a choice of a jersey, game, you know, old jersey, and a helmet. And I think Fry may have a helmet.
Well,
so that's basically
just raffle one off, like Samuel alumni in Tallahassee, and I think Curtis Richardson, the city commissioner, had won one. But I was like, if you go out and
I'm going to ask and see if we could have something like that. Be a great fundraiser for us down here. Maybe have two, because one, you know, if you get the interest, we'll make sure we have two people maybe walk away. But one thing we are. I'm going to restart the Council of Student Body Presidents that came through FAMU so that we can see what's going on and try, try to get us, you know, on the right page. Because right now, the old things is, the call is now for us to help FAMU, because we know we're not getting it from the state like we wanted.
No.
DeSantis, or whatever his name is, DeSantis, I don't know. It's always one of them. What he's doing with the state and how they're breaking it up with the Board of Trustees. He has so much power that I think now he said if he ran for president, he would maintain his governorship.
Yeah.
There and now here.
He set it up where he could run for governor or run for president, and if he wins, I'm sorry, if he loses, he gets to keep his governorship, where typically he steps down.
And if you watch the landscape of Florida, you can think about Al Lawson, our frat brother. He stretched from
his deal too.
Right, Gaston County, all the way over to North Florida. But when Demons gave up her spot to be the police chief out of Orlando, he bent that thing down. Like, so you had a little bit of Stark, you had a little bit of Alachua County. All them little places, Marion, maybe a little bit of Marion, not much. And then it changed the dynamic. So he didn't have that contingency of Gadsden County like he had. That's how he lost. So, again, he put it on the table, and the legislation vote for whatever he wants. So it's a dictatorship there in the state of Florida. And we shouldn't be surprised that Texas and Florida running neck and neck out, they running their government. And I can talk for hours. I'm still pissed over when the immigrants come over, and especially the ones that came from Haiti. And that's a long way. Haiti has a body of water before they even get to Central America to come up Mexico to get to the border. But when they saw the Haitis and they dealing with color alone, they found a U.S. Aircraft cutter or whatever and flew them people right out.
Yes, sir.
Flew them right
y'all
back.
Y'all ain't welcome.
Yeah. But everybody else could come, can't speak no English. At least they spoke French. They would have brought a different dynamic to the States.
Yeah.
But it's all about tone, skin tone. And the old folks, they got the tan. We got the tan, they can't stand. And that's basically it.
Yeah.
Well, but Livingston, I appreciate
you. We missed you.
Happy Founders Day to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, did you get out here in Dallas?
You know, I had to work out at Paul Quinn on Friday.
Okay.
Just went to dinner with Coach Summers.
Okay.
Right after. So I couldn't get out, over in Oak Cliff. But we need to get together. I don't smoke the cigars, but I need to get out there and hang out with you guys. And so we, spin the yarn a little bit.
Yeah, we did. Because
I know it was a lot being spent.
Above, so.
Always.
Yeah.
So,
all right, good brother.
Man, thank you as always. You're always welcome.
Thanks for the platform.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. Be blessed.
All right. All right. That was Livingston Albreton, a very good friend of mine. Frat brother, homeboy, the list goes on and on and on. And patiently waiting, none other than the great Dr. Rodriguez. Good morning. Unmute yourself.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I get tickled when I don't hear you. All right. And I apologize. Thank you for waiting so patiently this morning. But we changed football coaches this past week. And it's an uproar. You know, you want, like if you and I, if we find a job that's paying more, it's almost like deuces. We out of here. We gone.
Yep.
And that's what he did. And people are very upset with him. But come on. The man got to feed his family.
Thank you.
Got to feed his family.
Retirement money, too.
Yeah. You go from $300,000 to $500,000.
Mm.
You know, we ain't talking no Jethro one-knot, two-knot, three-knot kind of education. We're talking about making a difference, you know, in your household. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So what you got for us today? What you got for us today?
Well, I don't have that much time now, so I was going to give you a couple of recipes, and that's it. And then you can take it on home. I was going to tell everybody how to make, you know, like homemade ginger ale and homemade sassafras. So that means you need to get your pen and paper. That sassafras root beer.
Okay. And what I want you to do, if you have it, I want you to email it to me, and then I can publish you. Yeah, as
no
well.
No problem.
But I am ready. I love ginger. Look, is it ginger ale or ginger ale?
It's ginger ale, and it's healthier. And like the recipe I have, it only has 231 calories, zero fat, 60 grams of carbs, and 1 gram of protein.
And it's
very easy.
We're going to put Canada Dry out of business.
Well, Canada Dry should have been out of business. You should see some of the ingredients in there.
Yeah, well, we all guilty because now it's the cheapest on the. I don't know if Pepsi bought them. You can get a big old liter bottle for $1 something, $2 at Wally's World.
Oh, wow. Everybody needs to be making their stuff, really. And, like,
right.
Kind of leaving that poison alone.
So I'm going to follow you. I am ready.
Okay. So you're going to need some of that club soda, just plain old club soda. I'm not sure, do you know how to make simple syrup? A lot of people make simple syrup for their holiday drinks, you know, adult drinks.
Well, it got to be a holiday.
Well.
Yeah,
and in January, you know, everybody's all free, you know. Okay, now, to make simple syrup, all you need is a cup of sugar and a cup of water. And, like, your simple syrup will last in your refrigerator about a month. So, you know, you can go ahead and just get your club soda and get your simple syrup. And then you need to make some ginger water. So you need a whole cup of peeled ginger. So you get that and kind of chop it up. And make sure you have a cup full. Then you take 2 cups of water, and you bring your 2 cups of water to a boil. You add the ginger into it, and then you let it simmer for about 5 minutes. And then you remove it and, you know, just like let it rest for like 20 minutes. And then you strain it through a fine mesh strainer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this ginger water, it'll last anywhere from a week to 2 weeks. But if you see the color or the odor change, you know, you just kind of pour it out. Now, to make your ginger.
So does it come out clear, or the ginger, or the clear or white or opaque? Or what do we expect once we boil that ginger down?
A little amber.
A little amber?
Yeah.
Okay.
A light amber. Okay, so this is how you make the ginger ale. You take you a tall glass. You take a half a cup of ginger water, a third of a cup of simple syrup, and then like a half a cup of your club soda, and you serve it over ice. And like you can even add a few drops of lime juice, or you can put a lime wedge on each of the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there is just a tall glass. That's like maybe a little bit over 8 ounces. But that's how you make it.
Okay. Ginger ale.
Yeah.
And you know
ginger
what?
Ale.
Growing,
and this is how
up,
ginger ale is supposed to taste.
Growing up, Canada Dry had a plant behind us. Well, behind the neighborhood.
Really?
I don't know the side of them, but yeah. And I don't know how many times we should walk by and sample. That's a nice way of putting it. We should sample quite a bit of ginger ale.
Oh, wow. So did
look, officially and unofficially. What was that?
Did the plant have a smell?
You broke up a little bit. Did the plant
sorry,
have what?
Did it have a smell?
You know, it may have been just a bottling area. If it had a smell, we just thought it was just the norm. My chemistry knows what needed in at that time. But it may have, now that you think about it, it was a little different. And we just thought it because of the products, and then you had the trucks coming out. But I think that particular plant by us was more of a distribution. Because growing up in Tampa, they had a lot. We had Busch Gardens, which was operated by Anheuser-Busch. And we had a brewery. We had a brewery smelling the hops, and the it was another smell. You know you were over there. If they would have put a blindfold on me, and I would have gone through the area. I would have known what part of town I was in. That's how distinguished that smell was. But we had Slits. Remember that? Not the bull. We had old Burgundy and White cans, Slits, beer, and then some other companies bought them out over there. And then Busch Gardens, you know, which is an amusement park. I tell you, it was owned by Anheuser-Busch. They had their brewery. And the funny thing about the brewery, I couldn't wait to turn 18. Because at that point, I went and took the tour. And after taking a tour about 3, 4, 5, 6 times, 7, I had to sit down a minute off beer now. Oh, but the show was good and fresh. But give us that second recipe. I didn't want to cut you off there. Go ahead. You gave us the first recipe with ginger.
Okay, well,
ginger.
The second is like you're going to take some the roots of sassafras. Going to put a whole bunch of spices in them and molasses to make a sweet syrup. Now, it's like 4 cups of water, 2 cloves, a half a teaspoon of anise seed, 4 allspice berries, a stick of cinnamon about an inch thick, a 1/4 cup of molasses, 1 cup of sugar, and 2 quarts of that soda water. Now, you put the roots in a pot, and you cover it with the 4 cups of water. Then you add your cloves, your anise seeds, your allspice berries, and your cinnamon stick. You bring it to a boil, and then you reduce it to a simmer, and then you simmer for about 25 minutes. And then you add your molasses, and then simmer for about 5 more minutes, and then you take it off the eye and let it rest, okay? And what you're going to do is you're going to either use a fine mesh sieve, or you're going to use a cheesecloth, and then you rinse out your pot because you're going to use it a second time, and then you return the liquid to the pot, then you add the sugar, and then you heat until you get it to that simmer again, and like once it starts simmering again, the sugar will dissolve, and then you remove it from the heat, and you let it rest again, let it cool. Now, this one has 156 calories, no fat, 29 grams of carbs and no proteins. And so, like, for this one, to get you a nice glass, you get, it's like a 1-to-1 ratio. So you put your root beer syrup and your soda water 1-to-1. So you add, like, 1/3 cup of syrup to about 2/3 cups of soda water. But if you want it stronger, you just add more syrup. If you want it like a little bit more thin, then you put the more soda water in it. But that's pretty much it. See how simple they are?
Mm-hmm.
You have
yeah,
all the ingredients.
Said,
in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And you even call it, so they're homemade sassafras?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then they also have one, a sassafras root beer. So,
yeah.
Boy,
all root
beer. You're going to have me not going to Walmart no more.
Yeah, you just sit all this stuff up in your refrigerator and then just mix it together, and it's always fresh.
Sassafras. Mm-hmm. You know, we thank you so much. I tell you, it's, somebody's price, you
and
know.
Almost,
and we talked about the ginger ale. You know, it's pretty cheap. I can't even think of the company name now. Canada Dry. Yeah, it's pretty cheap now. You get a big old 2 liter for little or nothing. Now,
you better look at your ingredients.
Some...
That is.
Yeah.
You better look at their ingredients.
Well, I'm guilty as charged for because we made some punch. You know, punch with a little punch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting. But, you know, again, it's so many people are doing things to probably cut down on costs, cut down on the additives that were put in these drinks and things we consume. We have a lot of customer, how can I put it, leniency. We're at the mercy of those particular companies instead of reading what they may have put in it. And everything illegal, but we have to find out, are they good for us? And that's what we need to go from that point. So, you know what? I want to remind everyone, too, that they don't believe the hype. We have a healthy expo on the day that Dr. Martin Luther King's observance is will be that Monday. And that particular Monday is the 22nd. His birthday is actually on the 15th. Let me just make sure before I give this out. That MLK Day, I think it's the 11th. MLK Day 2024 will be on the 15th. All right, so that's the day that we're going to be at the African American Museum. Dr. Rodriguez, please come by. We have a lot of different things. You can see so that the next year, if the Lord's willing and the creek don't rise, you can set up your booth, or if you got something to set up, let us know, and we can get you on there to display some of your stuff. I know you do a lot of growing, things of that nature, or even if you want to have a lecture about it, just let us know. We'll be more than happy to accommodate you.
Okay.
On that. And just looking at some of the things, I couldn't blow it up as much as I wanted to here, but I do the best I can. You know, the eyes get a little young.
Oh, is it the right. Print too small?
Huh? What's up, my Willis?
Okay, is it print?
Yeah, the print, everything. And it's gotten so big now, it don't even want to operate. I got up to 400. Here we go. It's coming back. It's back. All right. We got 90 seconds to get this out. Yes, it don't believe the hype. January, I call it Realizing the Dream Healthy Living Expo at the African American Museum, January 15, 2024, from 10 a.m. to 5. And most of the people get there right after the parade. So, again, so much is going on, so little time. We're going to have the funeral tomorrow of the Honorable Eddie Bernice Johnson. And, of course, Dr. Rodriguez working in the hospitals. How do you go for one thing and then here's a dignitary. The family said they found her in stool. The conditions were not favorable. And she passed. Now, she just resigned several months ago. And it's going to be some repercussions with this. I know. Negligence. We can just think of all the things that we've encountered while we work in the hospital.
Yeah.
So God rest her soul. Huh?
No nurses around.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Well, that's them trying to make a profit and not hiring people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah, it's going to fall on upstairs. But as we wind down, I thank you so much for being a part of the World According to Drew. I want to thank all my guests as well. What a wonderful morning. We started out a little choppy because the last couple of weeks it was, you know, and I apologize. We just didn't get, we were having very, very, very difficulties with the technicians and everything associated with the show. So, Dr. Rodriguez, we thank you again for everything you do and what you're going to do in the future in 2024. Happy New Year, everybody. Next week, we'll see. We'll check on your New Year's resolutions. I didn't want to let 7 days go by because you're still working hard, but we want to see on the 14th day what is going on. Thank you so much, Dr. Rodriguez. Thank you, Livingston Albritton. Thank you, Vaughn Wilson, for making this an outstanding first show of the year. On behalf of Cheryl Smith and staff, all the FAMUans around the world, we love you. I'm out. I'll stay black until it's over. Peace.